How are y'all? Never once did we ever walk alone. You were faithful. Gabe, that's perfect choice, brother. I mean, I look out on this congregation and I just see examples of God's faithfulness and kindness, how he never leaves us to suffer through anything on our own. And a little bit in my feelings right now, so y'all bear with me. We're going to be back in Micah chapter 6 this morning, verses 6 through 8. Gabe set me up with that one. Got it up? Yeah, it's up there. Okay, I'm going to read 6 through 8 just like last week. We'll read it again this week, and then we'll get into part 2 of this series. So it says, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God." So last week we talked about justice, righteous justice, and what it means to do justice and why that's important. We talked about justice being the greater need behind the immediate need, and how seeing folks as equal image bearers of God pushes us to want to give justice to everybody. At least it should. Well, today, let's explore what Micah means when he says we should love kindness. Because I think it'd be simpler if Micah told us to do kindness, right? Like he told us to do justice. I think that's easier to get our heads around. But he doesn't say that. He says that us justice doers are also supposed to be kindness lovers. So what does that mean? Well, let's look at that word kindness. The Hebrew word is hesed. Now, that's a huge, heavy word in the Old Testament, okay? We see it over 250 times. Most of the time, we see it used to describe what's an essential part of God's nature. Now, hesed is an impossible word to translate, okay? This is the fun Bible translators get into. And it's not just hard to translate it into English. It's hard to translate that word into any modern language because it implies love and generosity. It implies faithfulness, loyalty. So one English word cannot capture all of that. So we see it translated in our Bibles as steadfast love, as faithful love, as loyal love, as loving kindness, a lot of different ways. It communicates a sense of love and loyalty that encourages mercy and faithfulness towards someone else. It's relational because it's deeply personal. It's how God described himself when he met with Moses. He said he was merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in hesed, meaning his love for and devotion to his people is extraordinary. It wasn't your typical God-worshipper relationship because Yahweh is not your typical God. He's the God of all gods, amen? He's the God who sits enthroned in the divine council, according to Psalm 82. Everything that is exists because he allows it. So it just makes sense that the depth and the reach of his kindness would far surpass anything common because he's an uncommon God and he wants an uncommon people. See, there's that whole imaging thing again. He wants us to show him to the world. And one way we do that is by doing justice. Another way we do that is by loving kindness. One of the best examples of this between people that we see in the Bible is the story of Ruth. Y'all remember Ruth? Ruth was from Moab, a very dark, just cringy place near Israel, where they worshipped a god named Chemosh. Now, worship of Chemosh involves some of the most wicked and degrading acts a person could commit. There is no telling y'all the horrors that Ruth not only saw, but she was forced to participate in. And the Bible remembers her as a hero. She's a direct bloodline descendant of King David. Now let's keep in mind, Ruth was a foreigner, a female, and a widow, okay? In the world she lived in, and I'm sorry for this description, but her societal value was somewhere between livestock and cattle, okay? Remember, Ruth lived during the time the judges ruled Israel. So as repulsive and awful as Moab was, at this point in their history, Israel really wasn't much better. So with Ruth, we have someone who the community doesn't want. Someone who some would say is not deserving of love, let alone justice. And Ruth probably felt that way about herself. But that's not how God felt about her. God did not see some subhuman taking up space in his world. He saw a scared, incredibly brave young woman who loved her mother-in-law, Naomi, with a devotion that Naomi did not deserve. When Naomi decided she was going to leave Moab and go back to Israel, she told Ruth, "Go back to your people." She said, "I have nothing to give you. I have no sons left to offer you to. I am going back to my people. Ruth, you go back to your people. And hopefully you can find another husband." And this was Ruth's response. Some of the most beautiful words spoken in Scripture. "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May Yahweh do so to me and more also if anything but death departs me from you." Y'all, Ruth is all in, okay? And it's not because Naomi can do anything for her. There's really no upside for Ruth to go to a foreign land, to a people that think they're better than her, who don't want her there, and look after and care for her aging mother-in-law. I mean, how'd she plan on doing it? It's not like she could apply to Amazon or something. There were no jobs for her there. So why'd she do that? Why does she take such a risk? I think it's because she loved kindness. And the writer of her story in chapter 3 remembers her kindness as chesed. And Ruth, bless her heart, she doesn't just extend chesed to Naomi, she also receives it from the God of Israel. Because Boaz, who is a good and godly man, he cares for Ruth and Naomi, he redeems their family lands, he marries Ruth and gives Naomi a grandson. And Ruth's story ends with this. "Then the women said to Naomi, 'Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer. And may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him.' Then Naomi took the child, laid him on her lap, and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, 'A son has been born to Naomi.' They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David." So that's Ruth's story. But if we change the names and some of the details, or maybe a lot of the details, it's really not much different than your story or my story. Because you have the God of the universe abounding in chesed, choosing to extend that chesed in the form of redeeming grace to someone broken and undeserving of it. That's all of us. And maybe it's different for y'all, but I know for me, that's where the similarities between me and Ruth end, okay? Because Ruth was a much better person than I am. When it comes to character and loyalty, I am not in her league. But the same God who loves her chose to love me. And he chose to love all of you. He offers chesed to anyone who will give up their sins and follow Jesus. Why Jesus? Because the cross of Jesus is where God's justice and his kindness, his mishpat and his hesed, join together for our redemption. This is what makes the Christian faith so unique and so different from all other belief systems, y'all. At least belief systems that have one supreme God. In these other religions, a person can be shown kindness by this supreme God, but in order for that to happen, any due justice has to be swept aside. Okay? So you either get mercy or you get justice. You cannot get both. In order for mercy to be given, justice has to be ignored. But not with the God of the Bible. Not with the God of the Bible. Yahweh's mercy is shown through his justice. He doesn't ignore it. The doctrine of substitutionary atonement, and sorry for that big word, it teaches that sin and everything that goes with it, including injustice, was punished on Jesus' cross. And it's only because the penalty of sin was satisfied that Yahweh is willing to offer hesed to us unworthy, undeserving, and unlovable sinners. Thank you, Father, for such an awesome plan that makes no sense to us. Why would he do that? Because he loves us, nothing more. He has chosen to love us. And the writer of Psalm 136, I think he got so overwhelmed by meditating on that, by meditating on the amazing love and faithfulness of God, that 26 times in one song, Psalm 136, he declares that God's hesed endures forever. Give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good. His hesed endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his hesed endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his hesed endures forever. And on and on and on. You know, I think doing justice is a concept that's easy for us to understand. We take what's wrong, we try to make it right. That just seems like a good idea. But to love kindness, to do for others what's good for them, giving no consideration to how or if it will benefit us in any way, well, that's otherworldly, y'all. I think God knew it would be hard for us to comprehend, so he teaches us through ancient stories like Ruth and Jacob, and he shows us in the life, death, and resurrection of his son Jesus. Jesus is where justice and kindness find their full expression in human form. And we might say, well, Mike, I ain't Jesus. I get that. I'm not either. But we don't have to be. That's the cool thing. We can be like a guy named Craig. Now, I want to show y'all a video. Now, this video is a few years old. The song didn't get a lot of attention. So maybe you heard it, maybe you haven't. I think you'll recognize the guy. But it tells a great story. So if we could have that video, please.
Craig at a church called Redeeming Grace. It's like he understood my I don't want to be here face. I felt out of place and I smelled like beer, but he just shook my hand, said I'm glad you're here. He says we'll all be judged, but he was never judgmental. And even though my songs don't belong in no hymnal, he quote me my lyrics, slapped me on the back, said man you got a gift, how you write like that? Yeah I know, he sounds cool right, not your typical kid from Sunday school right. I still ain't figured out church yet, but Craig, I get, now he can't walk on water or turn a Napa Valley red, but he just might be tight with a man that did. Now he's not the light of the world, but I wish that mine was bright as his. Yeah, he just might be tight with a man that a record deal, yeah, all the perks fade fast. Dealership said we're gonna need to get that minivan back. So we were down in one car, and broke as I felt. And my wife has six kids and only 5 seat belts. I needed help, but couldn't admit I was struggling. I said, Craig, it's all good, but he knew it all wasn't. Hey man, I'm praying for you would have been sufficient, but nah, he took roadside assistance to a whole nother level, to sacrificial heights. Showed up at the ballpark after my son's game one night in two cars with his wife Laura watching from the other. I said, what in the world are y'all doing here, brother? He just laughed beside that old Chrysler Town and Country van with the keys and the title and a pen in his hand. Said, man, all you gotta do is sign and it's yours. I said, no, no way, but he wouldn't take no for an answer. He said, please do. Somebody did this for me once, just let me do this for you. We argued about it for a little while, then I teared up and Craig smiled. Yeah, I know, he sounds cool, right? Not your typical kid from Sunday school, right? He can't walk on water or turn a Napa Valley red, but he just might be tight with a man that did. Now he's not light of the world, but I wish that mine was bright as his. Yeah, he just might be tight with a man that. Too ashamed to be adequately grateful at the moment, but I signed the dotted line and I drove the kids home. And when a cop pulled up beside us at the light, they didn't have to duck, 'cause thanks to Craig, they were all buckled up.
Y'all heard that song before? Didn't get any radio play. Y'all know the guy, though, right? That's Walker Hayes, Mr. Fancy-like himself. The cool thing, that song is his story. Craig is a real guy. He's an ordinary, down-to-earth human who loves kindness. You know, when I was trying to come up with a way to explain loving kindness so it seems doable for us mere mortals. I don't know about y'all. Like, when I read stuff in the Bible, I understand those are people. Just like me, but they almost have like superhero status a little bit, and it just kind of seems like a disconnect there. So I was trying to find an example of how we do this in modern times, and I kept going back to that song. It's the story's just so perfect. Because when Craig's walking over to introduce himself to Walker at church, he's not thinking, finally, somebody I can offload that van on, you know? He didn't see Craig as an answer to his problem. He's just being kind, because that's what Craig does. He loves kindness. And after a while, he recognizes that Walker needs encouragement. So he gives him encouragement. That's what he does, because he loves kindness. And as their families grow closer, Craig realizes, hey, there's a sizable need here, a real need. Walker's family needed reliable transportation for all of his kids. And so Craig, because he loves kindness, and since he recognizes Walker as an equal image bearer of God, he figures out a way to meet that need. Because that's what Jesus did for him. Recognize the need, meet the need. Expect nothing in return. I'm not sure, y'all, if we're ever more like Jesus than when we do that. Y'all, doing justice, like we talked about last week, that can be overwhelming. Sometimes the systems in place or the injustice that's taking place, it's just too much. There's too many moving parts. There's too many folks involved. It's going to take years for us to see any results if we ever do. That's not this. Loving kindness doesn't require reforming government agencies or putting folks in jail. It requires you and someone else. That's it. That's it. Now, their needs may be material. Those are easier to spot for sure. But some folks just need somebody to talk to. They need somebody who will listen to them without judging them. Maybe you don't even say anything. Maybe just your presence and your attention is your gift to them. And I would argue that giving your time demonstrates loving kindness much better than giving your money. That's just my opinion. Now, when you combine the two, our time and our money, well, that's when we're hitting Craig status, right? That's when we're moving closer to Ruth, to her level. Did y'all know loving kindness is what attracted masses of people to the early church. Because they had to find out the whole Jesus thing, they had to get inside to figure that stuff out, to start to learn that. But the loving kindness, that outward display of loving kindness, is what attracted so many people. It's a big reason why the Christian faith went from an outlawed belief system to the national religion of an empire in less than 400 years. And in another 500 years, it was the most widespread practiced religion in all of Europe. Because people saw something very different in these crazy Christian folks. The way they loved, not just each other, but everybody. The way they shared everything with whoever had need, y'all. Not just the folks inside their club. Anyone who had need. They sacrificed and they suffered and they did it willingly. They weren't compelled to. They chose to. They emptied themselves for the sake of others, just like their King Jesus taught them to do. They were living examples of Jesus' love of God's chesed. And did y'all know this? That for several hundred years, dating back to before Jesus' time, in many cultures this was practiced, but in the Roman culture had an accepted practice known as exposure. Y'all know what exposure was? Exposure was if a woman had a baby and for whatever reason, there was no qualifying the reasons. Whatever reason, she or her husband decided they did not want this baby. They were legally allowed to place this baby outdoors and expose it to the elements so it would die. Sometimes they did it just because the baby was a girl. Now, some folks would pick up these newborns, and they would take them home with them, and they would raise them up till they were like 5, 6, 7 years old. Then they'd sell them as slaves. But you know what these crazy Christians would do? They'd actually patrol the streets looking for these unwanted babies. And they'd bring them into their homes. They'd make them part of their communities. They'd care for them like they were their own children. They would love them and educate them and feed them and clothe them and protect them and teach them about Jesus because they saw them as unique and precious image bearers of God. And they love kindness. And their love for kindness, their recognition that all people carried immeasurable value and worth because they imaged the God of the universe. No other reason. That would eventually lead to Emperor Valentinian I handing down the first legal decrees, making it illegal for parents to abandon their newborns and making the killing of an infant a crime punishable by death. Now, it took generations for that to happen, y'all, but it happened. It happened. Because Jesus' followers saw past this collective problem. They saw past the inconvenience it would cause them, and they chose to love the individual. Kindness held the doors open so justice could walk through it. Do justice, love kindness. It's not enough to do one or the other. We must do them both because they both fit together. And y'all, justice can take lifetimes to realize. It really can. But kindness can be done in a moment. And its impact felt for lifetimes. Now, today's message was kind of all over the place, and I apologize for that. I mean, we talked about Ruth, we talked about Craig, we talked about Jesus, about the early church. Well, the reason for that is I really wanted us to see there's not one way to do this. There's not. Everyone's love for kindness is going to play out differently because we're not all the same, praise Jesus. Right? Every one of us is unique and special. Every life that we touch is unique and special. There is no one-size-fits-all approach to loving kindness. But Jesus' charge to His followers, that is the same for all of us. He wants us to be justice doers and kindness lovers because that's what He is. That's what He is. And He wants us to walk humbly with the Father because that's what He did. And that's what we're going to talk about next week. Now, I hope you'll be here, and this week, I really hope you'll look for opportunities to make other people smile And before I be quiet, I just want to, from the bottom of our hearts, thank y'all so much for the way you reached out with concern for Victoria's accident. She's here. She's doing well. She's on the mend. It just made our hearts smile. Our hearts were full because of the love that y'all expressed and the concern for her. So thank y'all for that. Now I'll pray.